man, my children, Jeremiah and Sabrina, they're under the weather. You know, when a mother sent their child to school and the rest is sick, the rest is history. All the, pretty much the children in the school ended up getting sick, the babies feel better, and then when they feel better, they start jumping around and get their little energy, and then they go back down. They get their little energy, and then they feel like they feel better, but they'll make it. Amen. Amen. They'll make it. Wife just decided to stay at home with them and continue to nourish them. Amen. But nevertheless, we have a word on this morning from God. Amen. Can we all stand? Numbers, the 13th chapter, and beginning at the 25th verse. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen, amen. You got it. Those who are using electronically, I know you're there, unless you're buffing right now. Reading from the King James Version. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Amen. To the reading of God's word, you may be seated. Very powerful message just in there. I don't know if you picked it up, but just in reading, did you see a lot of contradictions? Okay. It's amazing how we look at things and never see what it is we're looking at. For example, we may look at a piece of trash, what we think is a piece of trash blown across the street or down the street or across the parking lot or whatever. Someone else sees the same thing you're looking at, only to take it a step further and go and pick it up turns out that it wasn't trash. It was actually a $20 bill that was blown. That's because we all see things differently. Some people have sight. They can see. But then others have the vision to see beyond what they're looking at. So you're looking at what you consider to be trash and didn't want to get up and go and get it. That other person saw something different where they went and they picked up a $20 bill. Now you're upset, you're mad because you saw it first. But you didn't have the vision to go and pick it up and see what it was. So basically what I'm saying this morning is, do you know your vision? If you notice, most companies that you work for, they're always going to give you their vision statement. And I'm sure most of you, you hear that all the time from the president, tells you their vision. Let me say this. One of the greatest creations God made is the eyes. The ability to see and distinguish between colors, shape, sizes, faces, places in God's creation. That is a blessing. This is a question that you should ask yourself every day. Do you know your vision? It seems that people use the words eyesight and vision to mean the same thing. That's not true. Sight will make you see what is, but vision will make you see what will be. Y'all follow me? Sight will make you see what is happening, but vision will make you see what is going to happen. Sight sees the predicament, but vision sees the potential. Sight sees the present, but vision sees the promise of God. See, we can have all the sight in the world. Proverbs 29:18 said, where there is no vision, the people perish. So if you don't have vision, you're in serious trouble. People have the ability to see. And then there is the ability to see beyond what you're looking at. Can you put those names on the board for me? Do these names sound familiar to you, look familiar to you? When she put the names up there? None of those names look familiar to you. Well, these are leaders of the Bible. You should know them. They're leaders of the Bible. I tell you what, I want to see everybody in Bible study Wednesday. That's how you figure. That's how you solve this. I want to see everybody in here in Bible study Wednesday. Because this don't make no sense. That's what my daughter say. This don't make no sense. You should know these names. These names are people, they were leaders in the Bible. If you don't remember their names, that's because they looked at something and saw the wrong thing. They didn't look beyond what they were looking at. I remember reading about Helen Keller when I was in school, who was asked a question, is there anything worse than not having your sight? She said, yes, there is. It's having sight but having no vision. These men's names are not well known like Joshua and Caleb. That's because each of them had great sight but they had no vision. So these are 10 spies. Y'all don't remember their names, right? Because you don't remember their names because, see, they didn't have the vision that Joshua and Caleb had. See, we're familiar with Joshua and Caleb. But you're not familiar with these names here because these are the 10 that didn't have the vision. God's people have been in slavery in the land of Egypt that had been abused for about 400 some years, but God was determined to deliver his people from that misery and that suffering by breaking the power of the Egyptian over them and bringing them into a land known as Canaan. So God chose Moses to be the leader of his people and to lead them out of the land of Egypt. The people are at the front door. They're at the realm of a blessing that God wants to give them. And in order to encourage the people of the goodness of what God wanted to give them, God told Moses to choose 12 men, leaders from each of the 12 tribes, and have them to go and explore the land. There's your 10 that you don't know about, but if I had to say Joshua and Caleb, y'all have been, oh, yeah, I know that, Pastor. Next question. Yeah, see, it ain't because you probably studied. It's because somebody probably told you. But see, when I do it this way, yeah, huh, I don't know that. I don't sound familiar. And if you're a smart at it, you can say, well, since he's teaching about the Bible, I'm just going to say, hey, in the Bible. The 10 men whose names we have forgotten along with Joshua and Caleb were sent to check out the land as well. They were to report of the number of people, the fruitfulness of the soil, the types of protection, the defense in the cities, and the number of trees. They were to bring back some of the fruit of the land. I'm just trying to give you a little background, a little history. When they left to explore the land, I know the excitement of the people had to be, all right, we're getting ready to get out of this. You know, they getting their marching orders from Moses, and they're like, we're getting ready to get out of this situation here. So they going over to explore the land. People, leaders. Y'all understand me? Leaders getting marching orders from up top. Getting ready to deliver them, help them get out of this situation. Finally, they can say, I can move out of this tent that I'm in. And they could grow and get better crops than what they've been getting. Larger food selection. All they wanted to do was just move to another location that was a lot better than where they were. So they couldn't wait for God to make good on his promise that he had said to the people. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. What God is saying, you may be down and out right now, but I have a plan to pick you up and put you in another place than where you are. This is what God's plans is. See, you need somebody that has vision, that can see beyond what you're looking at. The people, let me use this illustration. The people saw the woman at the well as just a half step below a prostitute and a woman any man could have just for the asking. But the truth is, when she met Jesus, she gained a vision that despite what she had been, she could go and preach to others about the forgiving power and acceptance of God. So don't let somebody else tell you or determine who and what you should be in life. Amen? Or what your potential can be. It may take you a while to get there, but you will get there if you keep holding on to the word that God has given you. You got people that are graduating from college at the age of 80. People said they couldn't do it, but they did it. So don't let somebody tell you that you can't do something. You can. 40 days, those men were walking in the realm that God had for them. 40 days. They were over there in the land. God allowed you to pre-see it before you got over there. A lot of times God will let you take a little peek at what you're getting ready to get. But see, this is what happens. Sometimes if some of y'all, anybody know a nosy person? I'm just sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. But that's the only way you will understand. A nosy person just want to see what it is you're doing. You can have a surprise for them, but they want to peek and just see what all you got. And if you're missing a step, they may throw hints at you that you don't know that they didn't already peek. They may say, well, you may want to think of, you know, doing something like this. You know, if it was a surprise for me, I would maybe want something like this. Y'all got me? But what I'm just saying, God allowed them to go over there, walk around 40 days, explore the land, look and see what I'm getting ready to bless you with. You ever went to buy a new car? You look and you say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that. I like that. Exploring, seeing what you're going to get. How many times have you went to the dealership looking at that car? Saying that I'm going to get that, or that new house, saying I'm going to get that. You've done that on several occasions. So God allowed them to do this. And everybody was gathered together when they came back. You can have some people, just visualize this. You know how people be watching out, say, here they come, y'all. You got people that are sitting there waiting. They've been gone for 40 days and you see them. You know, when you have somebody that's coming in from out of town, you're anticipating, you're looking for them. And my thing is, here they come, you can see them from afar. Here they come, y'all. Always somebody saying that, you know, they're getting ready to come and tell us the good news. Getting ready to tell us what God has for. They were the first one to see the goodness of God, what he had in store for us. So you can't wait to hear what they got to say. So you get excited and you want to hear what it is that God's got for you. We all been kids before. It's no different than, you know, on Christmas. You know, we all want to know what we are getting. We enjoy that. My son now, he's like, you know, the bigger the better, Daddy. That's what he said to me. He said he wants something big. Got to be big. So we started off with a little gift, and he got that, and then another gift that was bigger than that. And then the gifts kept getting bigger. He said, Daddy, I need something much bigger. I said, boy, if you don't get over there and play with them toys, Daddy going broke trying to get you to get some, want something bigger. I think I'm paying for what I did when I was growing up. I did that to Bob. I'm not going to tell you. I did that to Bob. I said, man, it got to be bigger. I said, we need some arcades up in here. We did. We had 6 arcades in the house. The big video games. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not getting upset. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just pausing for station identification. Y'all have to understand. Big video arcade games. When you go to the mall and you go and put your quarters in. Y'all know what I did? Some people wanted to come over to the house. You got to put some quarters in that. So yeah, put some quarters in that, man. That's knowing that the game already worked. All you got to do is hit the start button. And when they left, yeah. God delivered me. These men walked back into the camp as legends. They were the first to have seen what God has promised. They went directly to Moses to give the report. Moses, let me tell you what we saw. They quoted. The land does indeed flow with milk and honey. Look at the size of the fruits, the grapes that we're bringing back. But then came the but. The word but has done more to discourage people and to keep people from moving forward in life. How many of you have missed out on some things that you could have had, but you listened to somebody tell you, but you probably won't? You follow what I'm saying? With the word but keeps everybody from getting where they need to be, because you allow somebody to come because you told somebody what thus said the Lord in your life, and they say, but I don't think that's going to work. That's a person that has no vision. I'm serious about this. Listen to what I'm saying here. Don't tell people everything that God has said to you. If God has prophesied to you, some people are going to say, and you tell them, they're going to say, that's not going to work. So they're going to tell you, look, listen for that word, but. That's what they're going to tell you, but. Those of you who are in your 70s and 80s probably don't believe you're going to be around till you reach 100. Do you have sight or vision for your life? Sight says, well, I'm getting older now and there's not much I can do. I'm just going to take it easy from here on out. Vision says, I got more time to give to the Lord, and I'm going to study his word because there's more to do. That's the difference between sight and vision. You got to have vision. Caleb took a stand after these people have, now the 10 spies have done something negative. Caleb took a stand and stated his vision. And it was immediately shot down. Those 10 men basically said, you're a liar. And they saw the same thing that he was looking at. There is no way we can attack the people because they are stronger than us. It devours the people. The people there were of great size, with descendants of Enoch, the giant, living there. As a matter of fact, we look like grasshoppers in our eyes and you know, to them. People who attempt to cause you to lose your vision and only see things their way will exaggerate and make claims they cannot prove. First, they have no way of knowing how strong the people living in that land are. God didn't send them over there as military people, as generals or whomever, Navy SEALs. They had no way of knowing that. You couldn't do that in 40 days, and none of them were chosen to be Navy SEALs. Second, they already had said previously how good the land was flowing with milk and honey. Indeed, it does flow with milk and honey. But now they claim the land is so barren, it's killing its people. Y'all see how people talk out of both sides of their mouth? They overemphasize the size of the people. They did see some descendants of Enoch, the giant there. But they could have handled the problem. There were only three of them. Three. But everybody over there. Yeah, President Zandra, everybody over there. Let me show y'all something. Y'all don't believe me. Let me show you. And let me tell you something. People are scary. But Caleb by himself, you're talking about you ever see a child of God? No fear in them whatsoever. No fear in them. Let me show you what Caleb did by himself. By him, y'all heard me, by himself. Let me find that for you. Joshua chapter 15. You're talking about giants there, right? Let me show you what Caleb did. Joshua chapter 15, verse 14. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see. I'm in Numbers. I need Joshua. Joshua 15 and chapter, I mean, Joshua 15 and 14. Let me see this. And Caleb and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. He drove them out by himself. I ain't got to read no more. He did it by himself. One man drove out three giants by himself. And these 10 men are scared. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say. One man drove out three giants bigger than him by himself. And they talking about, we can't take, oh, they got giants over there. The real view, the people, let me tell you. Let me show you how the people over there view the people of God. People know, let me say this, unbelieving people know your God better than you do, and you're a child of God. Now, I said it that way because it needs to hurt. It does. Because I'm going to tell you something. Let me show you how the people view the people of God. Joshua chapter 2. And she said unto the men, I know the Lord have given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. When a child of God shows up, look out. If God wants them to have it, they're going to get it. And they know what they heard what God can do. They know what God can do better than you know, and God did it for you. Isn't that something? I'm reading, I'm teaching here. This is what the people of the land thought of a child of God. They heard about what God can do. They were terrified, but yet the people who God was sending over there were afraid. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power. Yeah. Caleb's voice was in the minority, but he was telling the truth when he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. God has plans and purpose for our lives, but we can nullify the plans of God by listening to voices of discouragement. The most effective weapon Satan has against a committed child of God is discouragement. Discouragement will keep us from what we should have. And we'll start becoming content with where we are. So then what am I saying? Then we will settle for less than the best than what we deserve. The people became so discouraged that they spent the night crying and started to grumble against Moses and Aaron. They said, if only we had died in the desert, or God had brought us out of to kill us here, it would be better for us to go back to Egypt. Let's choose new leaders because of discouragement. And they were willing to allow others to abuse them all over again. They had sight, but no vision. They forgot God had sent 10 great plagues on Egypt and didn't allow a single one to touch his people. They forgot the Egyptian army was going to slaughter them, but God opened the Red Sea so they could cross. And God drowned the Egyptian army by closing the sea. They forgot God gave them bread from heaven each morning to eat. They forgot that God provided water for them when they got thirsty and didn't have anything to drink. They forgot that God gave them meat to eat in the desert. They forgot God has said, I will send an angel to drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and all the rest of them, and bring you into the land that I promised for you. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to bless you anyhow. They forgot. So instead, they chose to believe the words of 10 men who had sight but lacked vision. So what I'm saying is, who do you believe today? Who do you believe today? Caleb and Joshua try one more time to share their vision with the people. They said, look, the land we passed through is the best you've ever seen. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will give it to us. Don't rebel and don't give up on God. Don't be afraid of the people. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. He tried one more time to give a speech. Trying one more time to convince the people that the Lord is mightier. The Lord is with us. He said, let me try one more time to get into the people's head. Let me try one more time. He said, you don't know what you're missing right here. We don't need to be afraid. God hasn't brought us this far to leave us. They did their best to share their vision, but the people would not believe anything but the report of 10 spies. When we see the wrong thing, we are not the only ones who suffer for it. 10 men changed the destiny of 2 or 3 million people. 10 men. When Joshua and Caleb finished their speech, the people were ready to stone them, as well as Moses and Aaron. The lack of faith spread like an infection through the entire congregation of Israel, who probably forgot all the miracles they had seen and doubted the nature of God. You got to be kidding me. When we see let me say this, throughout human history, God has communicated his promise to us over and over and over again. But still, we demand proof. It's our fallen nature to doubt, to hold off from trusting until we see everything in place in a way that makes us feel comfortable. That's not trusting. That's saying, God, you aren't who you say you are until I see what I need to see. But God intervenes. See, God, I'm going to tell you something. He's a loving God. Yes. Wonderful God. Wonderful Savior. But he is a God that ain't going to play with you. But God intervened and threatened to wipe out the whole assembly. He said, I had enough of them. He said, I had enough of them. But Moses prayed, stood in the gap. That was Jesus. Stood in the gap and said, hold on, Lord. Hold up. If you destroy these people, take my name out. Take my name out. That's somebody that know their daddy. But not before God said, because you rebelled against me, every one of you over the age of 20 will never enter into the promise. Some of us are not receiving our blessings because we are so hard-headed and disobedient. It ain't happening. It ain't got nothing to do with me. That's you. It don't have anything to do with anybody else but you. My grandfather told us that we are our own worst enemy. And somebody said it's the enemy with enemy. You're fighting yourself. We get mad at everybody else, but we don't look in the mirror and say, you did it. That's what you need to say. You did it. I ought to beat you up. That's the one you need to get, because that's the one that's doing it to you. It ain't me. I ain't did nothing to you. So what was the final fate of the 10 spies? Well, they died. You know they didn't make it over there. It's just that simple. End of story. Case closed. Next. Church, I want to tell you that every devil that comes against you, there is an angel that is ready to fight for you. For every devil that tells you a lie, God's got a word in his book to tell you the truth. For every sickness and every pain that comes your way, there is a stripe on the Lord's back that reminds us that by his stripes we are healed. For every cross, there is a crown Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In man's sight, Abraham was not a father. But in God's vision, he was a father of many nations. In man's reality, David was just a shepherd. But in God's reality, in God's vision, he was the next king of Israel. In man's sight, Joseph was just a slave, but in God's vision, Joseph was a deliverer. Vision will make you aware of resources and opportunities that are there. When you have sight, you can only see what is in front of you. But when you have vision, you can see the bigger picture. The Spirit of the Lord will carry you up to a place where you can see what God wants to do in your life. That the songwriter said, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Come on now, y'all know the song. Yes. Sight is a vision. Sight is a function of the eyes. While vision is a function of faith. Sight is the ability to see things as they are, while vision is the ability to see things as they could or should be. Sight is confirmed to your is confined to your current environment, while vision sees beyond your now to your future possibilities. Sight is based upon what your eyes determine to be true, while vision focuses on what God's word says is true. So what we have here is that sight is fueled by an ideal that will bring temporary satisfaction, while vision is fueled by the idea that is so powerful that it can live beyond the grave. A vision will help you to overcome obstacles in a way and helps you hold on when times are tough. A vision that is well-defined helps you to focus and create a purpose that becomes your measurement for your success. If you do not have a vision of who you want to be, how you want to succeed, or what you want out of life, you begin to lack drive and your life becomes just an order of events for you. Listen to this. Listen to this. I got to tell you this. If Ray Charles was here, he would tell you, I may have lost my sight, but I didn't lose the vision for my life. If Stevie Wonder was here, he would tell you, I may not have the sight, but I do have vision for my life. You got to understand that you just can't have sight. You got to have vision for your life. If Helen Keller was here, she'd tell you, I may not have the sight, but I do have vision. Years ago, let me tell the story as I close. Years ago, I had a coworker to say to me, Ronnie, you need to quit. We need to quit this job. And I said, why? She said, because it's not going to work out. It's not going to last long. We need to quit. I'm turning in my resignation. And I said, wow. I said, why are you going to do that? She said, because this job is going down. The production is not where it should be, and we're not getting what we should be getting. So they're going to make a decision. I know it, that they're going to eliminate this job that they created. And next thing you know, we're going to be unemployed. So I'm telling you right now, you need to resign. I said, well, I'm not going to resign, because I said, I'm going to stay to the end. I said, that's just what I'm going to do. She said, Ronnie, you need to come out of that fantasy world that you're in and believing in God and thinking that God is going to help you and save you. I said, well, I understand that you don't believe like I believe, but I said, but I'm just going to stay with this anyway. So I said, you can do what you're going to do, but you can just continue to, you know, do what you're going to do. Well, she said, well, I'm going to turn in my resignation, and I hope you will do the same. Well, I said, well, I don't see things the way you see things. You know, you have the sight right now, but my vision didn't tell me that. And at the time, I was a young Christian in the Lord. I mean, when I say just got saved, I mean just been baptized, just got out of the water type of saved. I'm talking about just been delivered type of saved, just got laid hands on type of saved. But what I'm saying is I was saved, but I was a young saved person, but I had the vision to know that God will keep me anyhow and that God will make a way anyhow. So let me tell you this story. So when you can envision a future that is better, more productive, you are likely to make the changes that are necessary for you to reach that type of life. So I said, you know, well, I'm just going to stick this out and see what the end is going to be like. So 19 years later, let me tell you that I'm still on the job that she said won't last. I'm still working and still being productive. We may have had some hard times on the job, may have had some difficult times on the job, but I said I'm going to stick to it and see what the end is going to look like. Because I believe by faith that God will take care of his child. And even if God says that this job is no more, I know that God will have a place for me to go to. That's just the way I believe. It may be crazy faith, but it's still faith. So let's take it to a spiritual level. I know that it looks like it's not a lot of people in here today. It looks like it may be empty in here today. It looks like productivity is low. It looks like people are not listening to the word of God. But I'm here to tell you, no matter how things look, just like I told the lady on the job, I'm staying on this job. And I'm going to continue to preach God's word. And I'm going to stay to see what the end is going to look like. Well, you may leave and some may come, but you know what? I'm still going to be here running my mouth. I'm still going to be here preaching God's word. So why am I saying that? Because you can get down and out sometimes. Things look bad for us in our life, but you got to look beyond what you're looking at. Everything don't look as the way other, you don't need to look at things the way other people look at things. You got to see it how God see it. I see a whole lot of people in here this morning that I'm preaching to. And if you notice, I preach the same way I do every Sunday. I'm not going to change because so-and-so is not here. But I see people here that need to hear the word of God. So I'm going to preach regardless of how many people show up on Sunday. If it just be me by myself, I will preach God's word. If it be just me and my family, I'm going to preach God's word. If it be just me and another handful of families, I'm going to preach God's word. Let me tell you this, I will preach with or without music. It don't matter if I have a musician or not. It don't matter how people may see me, I'm still going to preach God's word. Because I have sight, I have vision beyond what I'm looking at. No matter what it looks like, God is able to fix it. God is able to turn it around. We need to start looking at things the way God sees it. Nobody can tell you, as I close, nobody can tell you what tomorrow's weather will be except the one who causes it, and that's God. But by listening to the weather report or looking at the sky, people use their eyes and their brains to ask, at least make an educated guess about tomorrow's weather. Likewise, no one can tell us with certainty when the exact timing of Jesus is going to return to this earth. But we can tell by the times of the signs. We can tell by the things that are going on that he is soon to return. Why? Because we have vision beyond the grave. We know that we serve a risen Savior. As Brother Moore said, who can tell me where Jesus' body is? No one, because he's not in the grave. He's risen from the grave. So as Christians, we look beyond the grave. We can see heaven like you can see heaven. So in other words, what I'm saying is that our living is not in vain. God is coming back after his people, and he is going to come with all power to get his people. We getting up out of here. It may look like things are bad, but it's all according to God's plan. God even allows the stupid stuff to happen in order to fit in his plan. Because God can work it out regardless of how it may happen. So we come together. We come together to encourage one another with words from the Lord to tell folks, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we need to look beyond what we see. Some of you all may have a desire to be married. You don't see your husband in your house. You need to look beyond what you see and visualize the Lord blessing you with a man of God in your home, blessing you with the one that he wants you to be with. You need to look beyond what you're looking at. Don't let folks tell you on your job you need to quit. As I said, 19 years later, I'm still on the job, still working. Had some transition, had some aches and pains along the way, but you know what? I'm still standing. I'm still trusting in God. I don't know what happened to her or where she is. I lost contact with her, but she's gone. She made a decision to leave, but it didn't have to be that way. She could have still been there if she had the faith. Some of us are on this Christian journey. Some of us have faith, but some of us don't have faith. We just walking. Don't know where we're going, don't know what we're doing. But some of us, we have the faith to say, we're going to keep on keeping on no matter what it looks like. I'm just saying to you, get serious about your walk with the Lord. Amen.